Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's National Handcuff Day, Tony. Have you ever been in handcuffs?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Not since 4 a.m.
All right, that's very funny.
It is, isn't it?
But let me try again.
Right.
Because you were a student back in those protest days where everybody got arrested.
Yes.
Have you ever been handcuffed?
No. They just sort of led you away. They didn't put you in handcuffs because it was...
Oh, that's good.
It was on a college campus, and so they didn't have the right to do that. But they led you away now and again. I recall that. It's a
now
long
and again.
Time.
I like
now
that.
Now and again. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Duke loses. Mike Fiers says he's not worried about getting thrown at. And we will spend 5 good minutes with Charles Barkley. But we begin today with the possibility of a massive 10-year labor agreement in the NFL. The owners have voted for the proposal, and now it must be approved by the players. The most immediate prospect of this deal would be 2 additional wild card teams in the playoffs starting this coming season, and the shrinking of the bye week for only 1 team, not 2. The deal will reportedly include a 17th game down the road and the additional revenue it would bring the players. Wilbon, let us start with the changes to the playoff format. Would they be good for the game?
Well, Tony, more has never been bad for sports. I mean, it's just more. The seasons overlap. Baseball goes till November sometimes.
Yeah.
Football's in February. March Madness is going to go to the middle of April. As soon as they add, you know, I don't like it. I don't need more to make it better. It's not better to me. And the NFL playoffs are not going to be better. I think the NFL setup in terms of regular season and playoffs, I think it's perfect or damn near perfect. Perfect enough not to. But when you're talking about Tony, to get more money, you have to have more games, and particularly playoff games. And this is what the owners want, and the players are going to capitulate. You know they are, because it means perhaps $5 billion shifting. So while I don't like it, more has never been bad for sports, and I'm not going to argue that it is.
I like playoffs. I think playoffs are good. I love the possibility of 3 wild card games on Saturday, 3 wild card games on Sunday. This would give us 14 of 32 teams in the playoffs. That's enough for me. I think the NBA with 16 to 30 and the NHL with 16 to 31 are just over the line. So I do like this idea. I also think, and I think you agree, I think that a 16-game season is perfect. I think an 18-game season is okay. I think a 17-game season, I don't understand the math on a 17-game
season. Here's the math. Dollar signs. That's the math, Tony. And they can't – look, they're going to try to get to 18. We'll both be gone by then.
I understand 18. I understand. I don't understand 17.
They just – it's – Tony, it's all more money.
It's a 10-year deal, Mike. Mike, this is – I thought the players hated Goodell. A 10-year deal is so long.
They do hate Goodell.
But they'll take –
they don't hate $5 billion. Huh?
The one thing
– Are your ears stopped up?
No, let me go back to the playoffs for a second. The thing I like about only 1 team getting a bye is that it puts more emphasis and value on the regular season. So I like that, but I think you and I are not crazy about 17.
I don't want any additional games. I don't want any more in any sport. Not in baseball, not in the NHL, not in the NBA. I don't want more in – I don't want to go to 80 teams in the tournament. I don't. Because I don't think it's better. Because now we don't even get to talk about college basketball because all this other stuff goes so long and it's just so much of it. But look, I know I am shouting into a 100-mile-per-hour wind and no one's listening. So let's get to a phrase that we don't say enough before March anymore. Time to talk about college basketball. We're a month only away from the NCAA tournament and for the most part have no idea who should be considered the favorite. Take Duke, for instance. The number 6 Blue Devils lost by an unthinkable 22 points at NC State last night. And it raises the question, who do you trust? If you had to pick 1 team right now, Tony, who is it?
So I don't know that there is a sure thing in there as far as I am concerned. Over the last 15, 20, 25 years, traditional powers. I've written them down. Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, Kentucky, Villanova recently. I don't trust any of them at the moment. Maybe the winner of Baylor, Kansas on Saturday, maybe that. So I'm going to do something that you would not expect from me. What? I never trust Gonzaga to win the whole thing. I don't.
I like this.
Because I always look at Gonzaga as when they get into conference, they don't play enough tough teams. But if I had to pick one sure thing right now, it would be Gonzaga, at least to the 8 and probably to the 4. And I know you, and I don't like saying that. I don't.
I mean, it's very seldom when we get to this part of the show do you shock me. You shocked me. I'm going to surprise you mildly because, you know, I will go outside of the norm often. I like to do that. And I'm going to say San Diego State.
Really?
Yeah. Tony, because nobody's beaten them yet.
Right.
So why not go with them? They're 26-0, right? And that, Tony, it doesn't look like if you handicap what they've got, the 3 games before their conference tournament, they're going to win those 3 games, right? I think 2 of them are at home. They're not losing. So now, Tony, you're conjuring up images to me of like Ray Myers' DePaul team that was undefeated and didn't lose until Larry Bird by basically a basket in the Final Four. I know Phil Martelli's team, and we had him on.
St. Joe's.
They were undefeated. You and I rooted for them.
But Tony,
they didn't do it. But you know what? These other teams aren't going to do it either.
It's an odd thing. I think that the Big Ten is the best conference this year.
Maryland is
number one in the Big Ten. But I've watched Maryland so often. They give up lead. They're like behind in the second half.
Not the best team in the
Big Ten.
So
I don't know. At this point, I don't know. Maybe it's San Diego State, but I would say if I'm reluctant on Gonzaga because of who they play, I'm going to be reluctant on San Diego State for the same conference schedule. Like the rest of us.
Kawhi Leonard now walking through that door.
He's walking through, but he ain't putting on a uni.
That's right.
The rest of us, Buster Olney of ESPN is looking for a solution to how to discipline the Astros who cheated. Suspensions are off the table because of the labor agreement. So Buster suggests a formal censure. The owners would draw it up, and the players throughout baseball would vote to ratify it. Wilbon, do you like this?
No. Stop with the process. Just do it. Stop talking about it. I told you a couple of days ago, and maybe my voice was so hoarse then you couldn't even understand me, that Rob Manfred, a week ago, should have gone public like a politician, and he should have said, hey, I want to suspend the Astros, half of them. But I can't. I am handcuffed.
That's right.
Because the rules that the players have signed off on, including all the guys running their yaps and tweeting and posting on Instagram, let them shut up and relinquish this deal. And I will have the power, because it could be vested in me, to suspend them, but I can't. So I don't want to hear any of this formal process garbage. Rob Manfred, get out on the stump and say what you got to say and take people down if you need to.
Yeah, so a censure to me sounds, and you mentioned political before, it sounds political to me. It's something they do in Congress. They do it in the House. They censure some member for malfeasance because they don't want to throw him or her out onto the street. This sounds like the 1840s and the Whig Party.
It does.
So it's not enough for me. Look, the anger out there is palpable. And people, not just players, people who are fans, they've turned on the Astros. Little leagues are taking Astros' names off of teams, Mike, and the only thing that will satisfy it is bloodlust. Look, I've talked to Jeff Passan, I've talked to Richie Justice. They say it's a fire out there.
Yeah.
You've got to take away the trophy. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy people.
What?
And I don't
Maybe.
Want to. I don't.
I think that the commissioner has to be the one who goes out and puts away the jargon and puts away the political positioning of what he has to do and what he has to say. You go out there with fire and brimstone. And again, Tony, you take down whoever you need to. First of all, you'll get a lot of players who are critical of the Astros behind you just by having the stones to do that. But this whole notion that they've been withholding bits and pieces and every week or every day, there's more and more and more. Enough of that. If you're facing an emergency, act like you're facing an emergency.
I would take the trophy. That's just me.
Yeah, okay. The person who more or less started the public discussion, Mike Fiers, is front and center again. He told The Athletic that he's really not concerned with the notion of on-field retribution from folks who might be angry at him over his November revelation of the Astros cheating. Big Poppy came out today And went as far as to say Fires looks like a snitch. He ain't holding his breath. Fire, or his tongue, Fires told The Athletic, quote, if they decide to throw at me, then they throw at me. There's nothing much you can do about it, close quote. Tony, do you like Fire's attitude about this? C'est la vie.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, because he's in the American League, it's going to have to be in a crossover game with the National League. It's the only time that he's going to be able to bat. It's the only time anybody's going to throw at him. I think he's probably saying the right thing. I'm very disturbed with what David Ortiz said. I really am, because I think somebody will pick up a baseball and say, this is Big Poppy saying this. If Big Poppy thinks this guy's a snitch, I'm going to go get him. So I'm worried about that, because I think he's a hero. I think Fires is a hero, but I will tell you something else. Mike, I've never believed, since this thing started, I have never believed that once he's done with Oakland, that any other team will pick him up. I think this is it for him. And again, I think he's a hero. And the players on the Astros, you know, he didn't say it while it was going on, and none of them did, because they were winning. They were winning. Nobody stood up and said, this is terrible, we got to stop right now. That didn't happen.
Tony, you know, it's not Fires that I'm worried about in terms of retribution and people. Worried is the wrong word. But it's the Astros. They're the ones who are going to have to deal with this, no matter what Manfred is telling people, at, you know, to start the Grapefruit League and the Cactus League. The Astros are the ones. Fires is now to the side. I mean, he started this, yes.
Yeah,
and he will be the central figure when we look back historically and chronicle it. But Fires ain't the guy going forward that we are going to be talking about every day who's getting dusted off and charging the mound and having to have a press conference afterward or
can't
face a
it.
Suspension. You can't have it. Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Monday, we thought, okay, the commissioner might have put some of this to bed and he had to do it. He had to protect the Astros. What do we think now, Tony?
I think you have to make a rule and you have to be very forceful about it, that if anybody throws at somebody capriciously because they're taking up for other teams.
But how do you know?
Oh,
how do you know?
Umpires know. Everybody knows.
Tony, they can't even get it right during the season that people throw at each other during games. They can never get it right.
Everybody knows. Let's take a break. But coming up, Wilbon has compared Zion Williamson to a larger version of Charles Barkley. We'll ask Charles Barkley about that comparison.
Good. We'll also ask them whether Kawhi's Clippers can still be what they thought they would be. And what I thought they would be. What most of us thought they would be.
So this is the Code Red and a few good men. And we're going to see. Wilbon is going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. But our guest today is about to go in for a second time.
Twice.
He's already in as a player. This time as a broadcaster. Eat it, Wilbon. We welcome in our great friend and bald brother from the NBA on TNT, Mr. Charles Barkley. Let us
on
start with
on his birthday,
this.
Tony. On his birthday. Don't forget.
We will get to that if you read the questions. We can skip ahead if you want. The NBA starts back up the next two nights. Wilbon has compared Zion Williamson to a larger version of Charles Barkley. When you see Zion, Chuck, is that what you see?
Well, number one, he seems like a great kid. That's the first thing I get when I see him interviewed and everything. I think he's more explosive than I am. It's fun to watch him play. But I think he's a lot, not a lot, but he's more explosive. And he's got the best second jump I've seen in a long time. Like, he gets right up so quickly. Like I say, I'm really looking forward to his development, because he seems like a great kid also.
Let me move the conversation a little bit to a team that we know is going to be in the playoffs, but Kawhi and Paul George have only played 24 games together, Charles. I mean, is time running out for the Clippers to pull all this together? Don't those guys have to play a string of games before the playoffs?
You know, Mike, that's a great question. I think two things. I think if I'm in the West, I'm concerned that they're only one game out of the second slot, which means they're going to be at home the first two rounds of the playoffs. You would think between load management and Paul George and all the other injuries, they'd be like the 5 or 6 seed. But kudos to the guys they've had so far. I think they're going to finish with the first or second best record in the West. And you know, the playoffs are a marathon. So they'll have plenty of time, but they do need to get healthy so we can see how good they really are.
Charles, are you a believer? Let me preface this question about the Rockets by saying this. I like that Daryl Morey and the Rockets, Charles, They don't give you a process. They don't mess around with 4 and 5 year rebuilds that half the time cheat the fans. They get after it every year. But having said that, I don't believe in small ball going very far in the playoffs. Do you?
Well, number one, I want to know if Daryl Morey is still alive. I haven't seen him since the beginning of the season. but I'm not a big believer in small ball for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's going to wear those two guys down having to play. First of all, they both have to play great every night for small ball to work. That's the first issue. But also, I think they're going to get worn down because they both play. They have to play great every night for that small ball to work. And I think the cumulative effect of playing against big teams night in, night out, I think is going to catch up with them in the long run. So I do not believe in small ball.
Charles, the Kyrie Irving drama is wearing a lot of folks out. I'm going to include myself in that group. As talented as he is and as important as he is to the team he plays for at the time, does it make sense to you that Kyrie Irving would be voted vice president of the Players Association?
Yeah, that was a kind of a stunner because he hasn't shown any leadership abilities in the NBA. And, you know, that's a really important job. When you're taking care of all these players, I was very surprised because, like I say, if you just look at his, like, Chris Paul is a great leader.
Yep.
Kyrie Irving has not shown me he can be a leader in any situation. So I was totally surprised and shocked that he got the vice president position with the players.
This makes me very happy because everything you've said, I have thought for quite some time about every player that we've talked about. We will get you out of here on this. As Wilbon spoiled for you early on, it is your birthday. You're 57 years old. You're a kid to us. You're way younger than we are. Is this what you thought you'd be doing at 57, or has your life taken turns that you never imagined?
Well, man, Tony, I am the luckiest person in the world. You know, growing up in the projects of Leeds, Alabama, I never thought that I would make it to the NBA. And now I'm getting paid to watch basketball. I have exceeded all my expectations, and I'm just lucky and blessed, man. I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
And you're in the Hall of Fame twice.
Twice.
Twice in the Hall of Fame.
Congratulations on the second one. How many people get that? Some get maybe coach and player.
Hey, well,
they got now we're inside the NBA. Chuck's going in as a player and a media member.
Big deal. It's a big deal.
Well, that's pretty. It's pretty cool. Shout out to Ernie, Kenny, and Shaq, and everybody inside. It's a tremendous honor.
It's a great show, Charles. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
The NBA on TNT is a doubleheader tonight starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. We're going to take one last break, but still to come, did Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury have their hearts in their shoving match?
And how concerned should the Yankees be about the arm troubles of Luis Severino? We didn't ask Chuck. I bet you he's going to that fight.
Going in twice,
I bet you Charles
Mike,
is going to that fight in Vegas.
That's like Paul McCartney. He goes in as a Beatle and he goes in as Paul McCartney. This is very rare. It's very rare. You're not going in twice. Happy time. People, happy 57th birthday, Milt Wagner. Wagner was a starter on Louisville's championship team in 1986, featuring Purvis Ellison. He had two seasons in the NBA, first with the Lakers and then with the Heat. Milt's son, DeJuan, was the number 6 overall pick when he left Memphis, and he spent 4 seasons in the NBA. And now DeJuan's son, DJ, Milt's grandson, is a freshman at Camden High School in New Jersey, where he's considered one of the best freshmen in the country. So down the road, we could be looking at the first 3-generation family in NBA history.
You know, Tony, I thought the Vanderways might have somehow had that. But this is an amazing thing. Talk about the family business.
Yes.
I mean, what talent and perseverance and dedication. Unbelievable.
Not so happy anniversary, Zion Williamson. On this day last year, less than 1 minute into a highly anticipated game with North Carolina, the star freshman shoe exploded, spraining his right knee and leading Zion to miss Duke's final 6 regular season games. More people remember that moment from last season than remember Virginia winning the national championship. That's how spectacular and galvanizing Zion Williamson was at Duke. If I'm not mistaken, Barack Obama was courtside for that game.
There you go. You're not mistaken. By the way, in my house, we remember Virginia winning the national championship more than that.
Yeah, because Cheryl went to Virginia.
Yeah, well,
and Northwestern's never won it. Happy trails to Butler.
Not yet.
After Butler's Sean McDermott hit a three to tie the game with 8.8 seconds to go, Seton Hall ran an unsuccessful play, leaving them just 0.6 seconds in which to inbound the ball and score. Watch as the ball floats into the hands of Sandro Mamukelashvili, who catches with his left hand and releases the ball in time to beat Butler. Don't fear, both teams are ranked. Both are going to the NCAAs.
Tony, because there's no layer of great teams better than everybody else, I think the tournament's going to be full of those kinds of games and finishes.
Quick to the big finish. The Yankees shut down Luis Severino with forearm tightness. Big deal?
Questionable for opening day. They are starting pitching troubles. Not a good start for the Yanks in spring training. The Athletic reports that Kyrie is likely to have surgery on his right shoulder, miss an extended amount of time. Your thoughts?
Don't ask me about him. Come on, you know. Roger Federer had arthroscopic surgery on his right knee. He'll miss the French Open. Is that significant?
Listen, he skipped the French Open when healthy. He's not going to win the French Open. He'll be back for Wimbledon, so he hopes. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, shoving match at their press conference. You buying bad blood?
No, I'm buying selling tickets. That's what they're doing. They're trying to get people to sign up for pay-per-view on this one.
I've signed up.
That's the whole deal. Last one. The Tampa Bay Lightning have won 11 in a row. Do you like them tonight over Vegas?
The Lightning not having a magical season, but still pretty good at home. I'll take Vegas to stop the streak.
Time, Tony.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads.